Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, thanks for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. This is Zach and Laura. I got an email today from a guy who said mahalo. So I think I'm going to greet you all with mahalo. I don't know exactly what it means, but it's a cool word, and I enjoyed receiving it. I also received an email over the weekend from a guy who wanted my input about an argument that he and his wife have, sometimes around salsa and sometimes around Cheetos. It was one of my favorite emails of all time, and I loved responding, and Laura and I talk about it on this episode. And it's a fun one. Stick around.
You're in such a good mood today.
I don't know. I think I'm turning a corner. I feel good. Yeah.
You getting ready to go into the woods? Feeling good about
next
that?
Week? Yeah, I'm going into the woods like 5 days when I don't have my cell phone or
Wait,
anything.
I thought it was this week. I thought that's why we had to record on Tuesday and not Thursday.
No, it's next week. I just had something. I just had something that I really wanted to talk about. So I was like, can we talk tomorrow?
All right. Well, I'm fine with that. I've had a very light week. I think that a lot of people are either transitioning out of therapy, aka dumping me, which I'm not going to take personally. It's a good thing when they reach their goals, I guess. But and then also summers are really interesting because a lot of people go on vacation, including myself. And so it's just really inconsistent. But you know what? With that time, I will go golfing.
Yeah. You went golfing today, right? What'd you do? How'd you do? Are you good at golf?
You know, in fact, I am good at golf. Do you know why I'm good at golf?
No.
Because I don't take myself too seriously. For a long time, I used to get out there and I would have this old softball swing, and I still do. I still just want to hit the shit. I want to cream that ball. I want it to go as far as it possibly can. But as a golfer, you know that you can't do that because then you end up pulling your head, you end up missing the ball. You slice it, whatever it might be. But what makes me a good golfer is that I can go out there and I can have a good IPA and I can drive the cart and I can have a good time.
Right on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I play
Are
golf
you a
about
good
one.
Golfer?
No. No.
No.
I play about once every 2 to 3 years.
Uh huh.
And I usually only play like 14 to 15 holes. Cause
yeah,
then I'm just.
I can only go maximum about 14 holes.
I'm kind of like, I don't really care. I'm playing with somebody and then let them play. But you know what I am good at?
What?
Sailing.
Are you good at sailing?
Yeah, because all you do is you get in a boat and you just sit there and you just like let everybody else happen. I went sailing on our friend's boat.
Our friend that we talk about, we don't identify him by name, but we all know who we're talking about.
It's like super
really
handsome.
The handsome one with like the good fashion sense and all the rings that he wears.
And the great hair.
I know that one.
And the wisdom.
Do you remember so much wisdom? Do you remember when you bought glasses to look just like your friend?
No, that is not what happened.
That is so true.
No, I bought
and
glasses.
It was a good move.
I bought glasses.
Without lenses in them, might I add?
No. These are my glasses. These are my frames that I got. I finally got my glasses. And then the next time I was with them, he was like, oh, you got glasses like me. And I was like, mother, father, because I did not mean to do it. But Turns out secretly I just admire this guy so much. I just want to be exactly like him.
You just want to dress just like him, be like him, be on his boat.
Yeah.
People are probably like, who's this guy with the sailboat that like has great hair and is like incredibly wise? Tell me his name because he sounds like a real winner.
He's bashful though. He doesn't want us to talk about him on the internet.
That's why we're doing this, to just tick him off.
Hey.
All
hey,
right. So,
hey,
yes.
Do you know why the chicken crossed the road?
To get to the other side?
Nope. To go to the idiot's house.
Okay.
Knock, knock.
All right. Who's there?
The chicken.
I only played that one out because you gave it to me like that exact same one last week, but our recording didn't go through, so I had to
play
it out.
But it's always funny. It's always funny and brilliant.
What if there was an easy way to achieve connection without having to do a ton of work? And what if you could make just a few small changes that helped you feel more alive, awake, and aware? Well, we're convinced that there is, and that you can, because we have worked with hundreds of couples. We've pored over reams of research. We've even experienced change in our own marriages. And time again, if we have learned anything, it's this. You do not have to stay stuck. That is why we created Marriage in Motion. It's a video series for couples, 16 videos with corresponding activity sheets, because we want for you to take the information and the research that we have pored over and put it into action in your own relationship. Marriage for Motion is available now. Go to forbetter.us, and for less than $300, you get the entire video series for a lifetime. We also have a guarantee that if you don't experience small changes in your relationship that have a big impact, we'll give you your money back. Check it out at forbetter.us. We'd love for you to try the Marriage in Motion video series for couples.
Hey, I got my favorite email maybe of all time, and I want to read it to you.
Okay. I just want you to know that you can't play favorites with only a select few. Like, you can't, because people are going to start to notice that you have favorites and they're not going to like it.
Yeah. Actually.
Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
He sent this email to your personal account. He I'm going to do the workaround, because I know if I email info@forbetter.us, he's only going to get Laura, and Zach's never going to respond. So he stalked you, found your personal email, and emailed you, correct?
Yep.
And this is a listener.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me what's up.
All right. So he says, my wife and I listened to the podcast together. We loved the reunions and partying episode, if you haven't heard of that one yet. He's got children from previous relationships. She doesn't. And that causes conflict. And I've always said, I think blended families are the hardest thing. Truly, it is the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
But this is my favorite part. He said, we have many conflicts which we struggle to resolve, from things like, should we eat the cherry salsa we purchased today or eat it in a week as a family? To a classic couple's argument of, is it financially sound to purchase your child flaming hot Cheetos on your last day of vacation at 10 p.m. in the evening? We struggle to come to a solution to these things peacefully. Do you have a podcast on the topic, or have you ever offered marital counseling? Well, whatever, that's another thing. I hope you have a 30-second solution to me so that we are never arguing again about salsa or flaming hot Cheetos. I love it.
I do too.
John Gottman says the number one thing that people argue about is nothing.
So
I sent this guy a YouTube video.
It better have been 30 seconds.
It was like 5.5 minutes. But do you ever see that YouTube video of Bob Newhart on Saturday Night Live?
Stop it.
So I was like, this is your 30-second solution. Just stop it. But I do want to talk about this, because I think I have some ideas that are actually quite real about the fact that we often get into these huge blowouts about things that are totally benign. Rebecca and I have had maybe 3 nuclear arguments in our relationship. I mean, just absolute.
They stand out. Yeah. I mean, over 22 years,
totally.
You look back and you're like, three. We had 3.
One of them was because she bought milk at a gas station instead of at Costco.
I've actually heard this story, but I didn't realize that it was your top 3.
Oh my gosh. No, it was massive. And it was over what?
Like
75 cents.
The type where she takes her ring off and she throws it at you. And she's like, you're an idiot, I'm out.
We went to the gym together, and we started the argument in the car, and we went to the gym together, and I just got out of the car and I slammed the door and I went to the gym, and she walked home. Never came into the gym. She just walked home. And then
how far?
Like 4.5 miles.
I used to have moments like that. It was mostly when I was 21, though. I'm just saying.
And this is the best part. We used to teach this class at our church, this pre-marriage class at our church. Mm-hmm. After I went to the gym and she walked home, the next time we saw each other was at 5 o'clock when the class started.
And then what happened?
We totally had it out in front of our class. Like, we totally went for it. Like, just.
No.
Like, we worked through the whole thing, like, in a way that was.
In front of them.
Yeah, in front of them. It was maybe the best class we've ever done.
You know, John and Julie do that at the Art and Science of Love, where they where they go over a fight, and yeah. usually ends up being that Julie like ends up crying and it's like really emotional, but they work through and hash out an actual fight in front of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how they can come up with new material if they're doing this quarterly, because apparently then they're having these big fights, but I don't know.
yeah, no, it's hard. But listen, I want to talk about this theory that I have about this, because people have feelings. People have feelings that matter. And they think about money differently. They think about kids differently. They think about milk differently. They think about food. I mean, they just have difference. Difference is a thing. People are yeah. different. Here's this little ladder I've created, though, in my head. Difference isn't necessarily a problem.
Right.
Right. So if I like the Seahawks,
can I dissect that a little bit?
Yeah, because go for it.
I find that a lot of people, when they're doing sort of premarital, or as you called it,
transition
to marriage,
yeah.
transition to marriage.
Sure.
Is that what you were calling
yeah.
it? Yeah. They focus on like the differences. Are we compatible? And it frustrates me, because it's like not an issue. When you get into marriage, interestingly, I think people become more similar in marriage over the years, right? You see people that start to dress alike and they start to do some of the
similar
things.
They start to look alike. Isn't that weird?
They start to, yes. Just like they buy dogs that look just like them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the couple walks in and they all look like poodles. Anyway, but I think that the compatibility piece is kind of a non-issue in my opinion.
Because yeah, I think it's overrated for sure.
Yes. Okay, continue.
Well, difference isn't necessarily a problem, right? Difference becomes a problem when you become more committed to your position than you do to your sort of your person, right? Last week we started messing around with peas, but difference becomes a problem when I'm more committed to like the 75 cents that is important to me about that gallon of milk versus just making sure my wife feels loved and validated, right? That's when difference becomes a problem. And then, so maybe you have a problem, you know, a problem isn't necessarily a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
A conflict occurs when you look at the problem and you go, I need to win this problem. Mm-hmm. I need to be the victor. I need to be the right one versus, you know, you sort of abandon the kind of the we-ness, right? I don't like saying we-ness because it sounds like, you know, penis. That's why I say we-ness. But when you dig in and you kind of go to the I was talking to a couple the other day and they were talking about their money. They both were high earners and they've come into the relationship late in their life. And he talks about his money and she talks about her money. And I don't think that's necessarily a problem. But anytime you are in a relationship and you're talking about my, then you open the door to conflict.
Why?
Well, because it's not about we, it's not about us moving the ball forward. It's about me becoming the, you know, the most valuable player, or me being the, you know, whatever. It kind of depends.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
And I know you're like on a roll, but I want to draw this out just a little bit, is that you had said when people become more focused on protecting their position as opposed to what was the other P?
Person. They care more about their position than their person.
Care more about their position than their person. I think about protecting, that there's something that they're protecting.
Okay.
That when you become like you sort of are so focused on this is my position and now I have to protect it. And so I'm less focused on you, my person, and how you feel and kindness and feeling heard and validated. But instead, I'm too focused on protecting my position. That's where I think it gets interesting. That's where I see people are really like digging their heels in, and that's they become really entrenched in their gridlocked position.
Yep.
Is when they're so focused on, I can't even take my eyes off of my own position for a second to even hear or understand your position, because now I feel like I have to protect it. And that's you're looking at me like, oh, she's so well-trained. She's speaking Gottmanese.
No,
but it is Gottmanese.
No. I agree with you. You know, it's like the issue with the Cheetos, the Flaming Hot Cheetos, was this position that was linked to like financial stability, right? Is it wise to spend this money right now in this case? And, you know, I've sort of trained by this guy, Gary Goleman. He's a stand-up comedian. I like a lot of stand-up comedians.
You're trained by him?
No, but he talked about how this one night he was in his bed and he was flipping through on demand and he found a movie he wanted to watch. I think it was, I forget what it was, maybe Goonies or something. And he was like, I had the Goonies DVD in my closet three rooms away and it cost me $3.99 to rent it on demand. And he was like, but I wasn't getting out of bed. And people were like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you save $3.99? And his point was no one didn't buy their dream house because they didn't have $3.99.
Hold on. Say that in a different way. My brain's not computing. He said, no one
basically
didn't.
You didn't give up on your dream house because you didn't have $3.99.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't retire because you didn't have $3.99. You didn't retire right. because you didn't have some other kind of comprehensive plan. So for me, that actually framed a lot of stuff for me about the milk, about the Cheetos. We're just kind of like, man, it's not worth it to,
right.
to argue so aggressively about something that in the largest scheme of things really doesn't matter, right? It just doesn't, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about being wasteful. I'm talking about, do I want to trade my time, my energy, my affection, my connection for less than $5.
But it's not, I mean, that's what I'm saying is like, it's, we know it's not about the Cheetos. They're not arguing about $1.99 of a bag of Cheetos.
Right.
They're arguing about the meaning underneath it.
Yeah. Which is why I'm like, stop it. Don't argue about the Cheetos. Argue about the meaning. Do that later over a coffee when, with your financial advisor,
yes.
when you're,
yes.
you know, like, okay, this didn't go well, but if you wasted.
Or argue about it then. I mean, I don't see any problem in entering into it and saying, oh, hey, that's really interesting. We definitely see things very differently.
Mm-hmm.
But
difference isn't a problem.
Difference is not a problem. But what you just said is don't argue about it. I'm like, why not? That seems like a really interesting conversation. Because here, I think it's about how you argue.
Right. I don't know if an interesting conversation counts as an argument.
Sure, it does. You don't see eye to eye. It's an interesting conversation.
Sure. But yeah. Okay. Okay. And that's why I think right below argument is conflict, right? Like,
okay.
Or combat.
And conflict doesn't have to hurt. That's the thing is I think it's important to have conflict because you're talking through, you're going through your ladder, your mental ladder
mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to have to make an infograph or you know what? You're just going to have Laura make you an infograph.
There you go.
But I think that the whole idea is that you can have conflict. You can have differences of opinion. I think it's perfectly okay to talk about what the bag of Cheetos means to you. Because otherwise, I think you're just having like these bland, boring situations. Isn't it interesting that you have a bag of Cheetos that can actually spark an interesting conversation and say, huh, okay,
yeah.
So we obviously don't see eye to eye. What's underneath that for you.
I just think you have to figure out how to do it in a way that leads to more connection rather than less because
yes.
you don't want to, I mean, you just got to pick your battles. Last night, my wife wanted my daughter to go to bed at X time. I forget what time it was. And mm-hmm. I didn't really care. I don't care what time she goes to bed because I just don't care. So she was like, okay, 5 more minutes. And Mary was like, what? And I looked at Reb. I said, do not pick this battle because this is going to cost mm-hmm. like 40 minutes. Just
yeah.
tell her 5 minutes, tell her, and then she'll go to bed in 15, but we won't be yeah. arguing for 45. You know, I'm all about efficiency, you know?
Okay.
So.
Whereas Rebecca's like, no.
Justice.
I mean, I have to be consistent and
yeah.
I'm the parent here. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, I get it.
Hey, I don't know if you guys do this or if Ryan travels more than you, I think, but Rebecca was mm-hmm. just gone for like 4 days. And when she comes back, she has to go into like Uber mom mode. Because
mm-hmm.
I've been the dad for 4 days and I figured it out. I got it down, you know, by now.
Yeah.
And, but she comes back and she's like, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about the other thing? And we need to go to bed and we need to do that. And we did. And I'm just like, babe,
yeah.
what you need to do is watch this movie with me.
Uh-huh.
And
just chill out. Just, everybody is still alive.
We're still,
they
we got
have,
this.
The
yeah.
same number of bruises as when they, as when you left. So I think we're fine. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, boy, Ryan's really been traveling a lot lately. Actually, he's been gone about 4 days every week. I wouldn't say anything's different, but I read this or I heard this piece of advice. And when I work with couples who are entering into the phase of life, the new phase of having children, their first child, one of the pieces of advice that I really took to heart was when your partner picks up a diaper to put it on your kid and they do it wrong in your eyes, from your point of view, do not correct them. When your partner picks up, the laundry and starts folding it and puts it away, even though it's not folded the way you want it folded, do not correct them. Because here's the deal. Your partner's picking up a diaper and putting it on your kid. Partner's folding the laundry. So let them do it the way they're doing it. Just like Rebecca's gone, but hey, she probably wasn't worried whether or not your kids had a full belly and were, safe. She might have been worried about what food you're putting in their mouth or how many television shows they've watched.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I always tell young moms, particularly, I say, the second best way to do something isn't a terrible way to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. You figured out the best way to do it. The second best way. Sure. Okay. But let me go through my ladder again, because I think this is important for the last part, which is, difference isn't necessarily a problem. And problem isn't necessarily a conflict. And conflict doesn't necessarily have to be combat, right? Doesn't have to be harmful or painful. And combat doesn't have to necessarily have to be violent, right? That's the bottom of the ladder, or maybe the top. Because, you can have combat that's boxing or MMA, or you can have judo, or taekwondo, which is much more fluid and much more about using momentum against the other. But here's the thing. When there's violence, you got to figure out how to move up the ladder to combat. And if there's combat, you got to move up the ladder to conflict. And if there's conflict, you move up the ladder to problem. And if you can move up the ladder even further to difference and go, hey, we're different. How do we manage that difference with us, right? Totally. Each of those stages. So for these guys who are arguing about Cheetos, I think it's important to go, hey, where are we on this ladder? And can we just come up the ladder a little bit? Particularly if it's painful, right? Let's just come up and let's calm down. Let's just talk about it. Let's talk about it another time. And if you can rise all the way up to difference and you go, okay, how are we going to manage difference? Because you think about money differently than I think about money. And to me, this $2 purchase, it presses a button in me that I need you to know about and be sensitive to. And for you, it doesn't press that button, but we don't want to have this button create problem, conflict, combat, violence for us, right? So
I'm smiling because I'm remembering our experience at Costco where opportunity.
This is exactly
of learning, learning about difference between the two of us and how we do money. And you actually did exactly, I think what we had was we had difference, and difference was close to slipping into a problem. Like I was ready to go to combat for my savings of $4.
Yeah.
And you were like, okay, but whatever, I'm not willing to go to bat for this. So whatever you want. And I was like, wait, let's just talk about this. Are you sure? And you're like, no, seriously, I do not care. This is, I'm above the rung of difference.
Yeah.
I am impartial.
I'm like, this is not, well, and that's the thing, right? It depends on what you're committed to, right? What hill are you going to die on? What sword are you going to die on? And I think having fewer of those hills is better. Frankly. Mm-hmm. And so I don't get into arguments with my kids. I don't get into arguments with my wife unless I'm super fired up. Actually, unless they press very specific buttons of mine and they know what they are. And
We were just talking about this, and I think I've heard it from you and I've heard it from other people, which is one thing that I have couples do is if you are in difference, is that the top rung?
Yeah.
So you're having a difference and it's slipping into problem is to go, all right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this to you?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, honestly, it's a 3. I don't care if we take an Uber, if we drive to the airport, or if we ask a friend to drive us to the airport. And then my partner might say, well, it's 9. I really want an Uber driver. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And I'm like, cool. All right. Problem solved. We just sorted through that.
You win by 6
on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you have to be pretty honest about it. But here's the other thing that you said, is that most times you just don't care unless somebody pushes a button or unless you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, scared.
You got it.
Did I nail it?
Well,
is that an acronym?
You added scared.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired is a big AA phrase. Halt.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then I also added an extra H, which is horny. Hungry, Amy.
Yeah, maybe stop.
Angry, lonely, tired, horny.
You added scared, and then you added horny. So that's halt.
Right. Which is like, once you take care of those things, then you might not be going down the ladder.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Manage your halt and then figure out where you're at on a scale of 1 to 10.
Perfect. So anyway, that's my,
go over it.
I don't know. I told the dude we were going to talk about it, and he was ready and willing to participate. So I hope that it's helpful to him and to you guys or the rest of you. And
maybe Laura will create an infograph.
That's all I got. Yeah. Maybe Laura will create an infograph. Yeah. Right on.
Well, I hope he doesn't mind the 22 minutes longer than what he was looking for.
Right on.
Because he was really just looking for this 30-second answer.
Yeah. But the 30-second answer is stop it. Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I love it. You got to check it out. It's YouTube. What is it? Bob Newhart, psychologist, Saturday Night Live, whatever, all that stuff.
Stop it.
Yeah. Stop it.
And you'll find it. It is good. It's pretty funny. Okay. Well, see you later.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I just had a thought because we had the most amazing woman write in and tell us about how she became a patron of Marriage Therapy Radio. So I wanted to say specifically thank you so much to our current patrons. And for those of you who have been finding value in our episodes and thinking, gosh, I wish there was a way that I could just give back. There is a great way you can give back. It's through our Patreon page. You can go to marriagetherapyradio.com and there's a tab at the top and it says Patreon. And that way you can contribute financially in a way of saying thank you. And I'll tell you, if there is a latte factor here of it's just one latte a month, $5 donation to help us to keep the lights on. It helps us to essentially just pay the bills so that we can continue doing what we love doing, aside from our practice with couples and hosting workshops. Thank you so much for all of your time and energy that you're putting into your relationship, making it better today than it was yesterday.